Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel of Mark again, Mark chapter 8, looking at verse 11 through 13. But before I read that, as always, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. Thank you that we can read it and we can grow to know you more and more and to follow you faithfully. However, we recognize that your word will not benefit us unless your Holy Spirit applies it to our heart. So would you please grant that to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 8, verse 11 to 13. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him again, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit, and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, and got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Is the gospel enough? Is the word enough? Or do we need something more? It's a very, very pressing and important question for us in our day and age, and really in every age, because there's always a temptation for us to look for something else, to look for more, to look for someone or something special. In this passage, we learn what is enough, and we learn it from the negative example of the Pharisees and the Herodians. The Pharisees and the Herodians, especially the Pharisees here, come to trap Jesus again. And so we see them seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Why? Why were they seeking a sign? This doesn't seem like that much of a bad thing, does it? They just want proof that Jesus is who he says he is. Is that what they really want, though? Well, why do they ask Jesus for a sign? Well, firstly, we need to understand their motive. What were the Pharisees, just the Pharisees here, but also the Herodians, seeking to do? We remember back many chapters ago that the Pharisees and the Herodians teamed up to try and destroy Jesus. So that's the context of this interaction. The Pharisees are looking for a way to destroy Jesus. So whatever they're asking for right now, it is not from a positive motive. They're not coming to Jesus and saying, "Look, we think you might be the one. Can you give us a sign so that we can believe in you?" No, that's not what's going on. They're testing him. So why do they ask for a sign? You have to ask yourself, what would happen if Jesus did the sign? Let's say Jesus said, okay, and he did some amazing thing like called down fire from heaven, like Elijah, or went up a mountain with smoke upon it, like Moses. What would happen? Well, you could imagine how the crowds would respond. The people of Israel would look at him and say, "This truly must be the Messiah. Look at all the works he's done. Look at all the things he says. Listen to him. And now he's done this heavenly miracle. He has shown us that he is the one." And it would probably begin a revolt. It would probably begin a takeover of Rome. Now, why is that significant? Well, what would that give the Pharisees an opportunity to do? They would then be able to run along to Herod and to the emperor and say, "Look, here is a man claiming to be the next Messiah, claiming to be the next king. What are you going to do about it?" And Jesus would have been destroyed then and there before his time. So Jesus refuses. But why does Jesus refuse? Jesus says to them, "Why does this generation seek a sign?" And he sighs first. Now, why is it significant that he sighs? Well, most of the sighs of the gospel, sounds weird to say, but most of the sighs of the gospel are very, very intentional. You know, it seems like a weird thing to record, doesn't it? He sighed. And yet, if you consider the contexts in which the sighs occur, they're almost always the same. So, for example, in Mark, just before this, when Jesus heals the blind, the deaf man, you remember that? He sighs just before he heals him. And when Jesus is before the tomb of Lazarus, he sighs as he's confronted with the awful implications of sin. And so too here, Jesus confronted with the sinful rebellion and hard-heartedness of the Pharisees causes him to sigh. That's significant, isn't it? You see, the action that these men are taking is so significant to Jesus that he sighs in response as he sees sinful rebellion being fleshed out. But notice his words. Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. Why? Why is this seeking of a sign so perturbing, so troubling to Jesus? Well, I think the easiest way to notice why this is so problematic is to recognize what Jesus has done. And consider all the things he's done. He's healed blind people. He's healed deaf people. He's healed dumb people. He's healed lepers. He's cast out demons. He's proclaimed the truth with power. You see, the reality is Jesus has done everything that anyone could ever need to see that he is truly the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. And yet, these Pharisees, these religious leaders, are so spiritually blind that they cannot see it. And at the end of the day, Jesus says, you don't need a sign. Why? Because I'm the sign. In the Matthew equivalent of this, Jesus says to them, the sign for you is Jonah. The sign for you is Jonah. As Jonah came back after 3 days in the fish, so the Son of Man will come back out of the earth. And so we see here, Jesus effectively telling them, you don't need a sign, you don't need a miracle, because the proof, the reality, the truth is right before you. And yet they walk away hard-hearted, don't they? You know, there's a really important lesson in this for you and I. A really important lesson for you and I. We can be tempted to think that the reason people don't believe in Jesus is because we need something else. You know, we have loved ones who don't know. We have friends who don't know Jesus. We have work colleagues. We look around our society and, you know, for me, I drive down the motorway and I see hundreds of people driving away from church. Everywhere we look, we see thousands of people who do not know Christ. And the temptation for us is to think to ourselves, if only we had someone famous, then people would believe. If only we had a better preacher, then people would believe. If only someone came back from the dead, then people would believe. And we become very quickly like the rich man in the story Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember that rich man, Demas, who says to Abraham in hell, send back Lazarus to my brothers, then they will believe. And do you remember the words of Abraham? He says to them, if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, then they will not believe even if someone comes back from the dead. You see, we can become so concerned that we don't have enough while failing to recognize what we have in front of us. We have the Word of God and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was standing before him as the Word, standing before these Pharisees. I am the Word, and I have the Word of God in my mouth. I am the sign. Believe in me. And yet they would not. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Because we have the Word which testifies to who he is. Let me encourage you not to look to anything else. Don't think to yourself, you need to find someone special to convince your friend to become a Christian. No, point them to the Word. Point them to Christ in the Word. Invite them to church so that they will come under the preaching of God's gospel. Because when Christ is proclaimed, Christ is present. You remember those words to the Galatians by Paul? He says, was not Christ publicly portrayed as crucified to you? Well, he wasn't physically, but he was in the preaching of the gospel. See, all we need is Jesus. Jesus is the sign. He is the convincing thing. His death and resurrection is the testimony to his truthfulness and to his saving power. And so what we need is for people to be confronted by Christ himself. And that happens through the preaching of his word and through the word of his testimony. So let us point people to the word and trust in nothing else. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and we ask that you would indeed use it to save people. Help us to trust it and to proclaim Christ in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me for another day. I will see you back here tomorrow afternoon.